Getting your lease and the foundation right just keeps delivering benefits as you go down the path. He got the business revalued after about 14 months, and his occupancy cost was now in the low 12%. His turnover per square metre was up over benchmarks on 8,000 a square metre. His stock turn ratio had increased by 40%, and his average stock holding had reduced by $70,000.
Welcome to the Pharmacy Business and Career Network podcast, brought to you by the Pharmacy Guild of Australia. Focusing on pharmacy management and ownership, the PBCN podcast supports the improvement and growth of your business performance with insights and advice from a range of industry professionals. The PBCN podcast, supporting your journey every step of the way.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of the PBCN podcast, brought to you by the Pharmacy Guild of Australia. I'm your host, Daniel Loyston, and it's great to have you listening into this first show. Now, the podcast is a really exciting initiative from the Guild, and one which is purely aimed at helping you improve and grow your business. And that's why each and every show we'll explore a topic or two that we know you need to focus on, find challenging, or you just want to learn more about. I hope you're well and that you're ready to jump into a great topic that plays a huge part, and to be honest, really does lay the foundation in whether your pharmacy will be successful. That's leasing. Now, I know what you're thinking. Yes, on the surface, it probably isn't the most fun and sexy thing about running a pharmacy, but as you heard in the snippet at the start, getting this part right can have a phenomenal impact on your bottom line. And that's not even mentioning the effect it will have on your stress and peace of mind. I mean, think about it for a second. After costs of goods sold, wages and salaries, rent is the next largest expense for many pharmacies and probably right up there, if not at the top, on the list of the most important contracts you'll enter into as a business. Now, that wisdom you heard at the start of the show was from Philip Chapman, the founder and chairman of Lease One. And Philip is one of Australia's leading retail industry experts, and that's because he has over 30 years' experience in retailing, retail property marketing, management, and leasing with companies which include Coles, Kmart, Woolworths Big W, LJ Hooker, Frank Knight, and Byvan. And that's why we thought Philip would be the perfect guest to discuss all things leasing and how you can avoid the pitfalls and mistakes and instead set yourself and your business up for success. Here's Phil. Philip Chapman, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Daniel.
You're the founder and chairman of Lease One, Australia's only national retail shop lease consultancy that provides a tenant-only representation service. When you visit your site, right there in the middle, it says retailers don't get what they deserve, they get what they negotiate. Does that essentially sum up the type of people that you need to help?
Oh, it does, Daniel. Look, it just resonates with everybody. We just see with all our vast experience over 20 years of doing this for retailers only, the money they leave on the negotiation table. So to get the message out there to let them think a little bit harder about how they negotiate is really what our core is about.
I'm also interested in the differentiation of the use of the words tenant-only representation service. Why is that important?
We emphasise that, Daniel, for the simple reason that a lot of retailers and particularly pharmacists are dealing with the landlord's agents, and sometimes they feel they're actually acting for them. We want to differentiate that and make sure that there's a true representation of their interests only and not those of the landlord.
Very good. Now, we have you on the show today to talk all things retail leasing for pharmacies. It's obviously an area that can be really tricky. It can be a minefield and one that can really set a pharmacy up for success, or it can hinder it severely. And to talk through the issues, we're going to use a case study where a guild member contacted their branch seeking advice as their lease was expiring soon and they hadn't heard from the landlord. And the branch took all the details and introduced them to you. What's the first thing you do?
Well, the first thing we do, Daniel, obviously contact the member. And we need to quickly establish a few things. Is the risk that they're facing. And that first risk is the security of tenure. When does the lease actually expire and how urgent is the issue we need to attend? And in this one, it was actually 4 months before the lease was going to expire. So that was a real big problem we had to address immediately.
What other background and important metrics are you looking at initially when you make that phone call?
The first phone call too, we'll always ask for your sales and what your monthly rent is. We quickly want to establish your occupancy cost ratio so we understand how the real estate's performing for you first and foremost, and we'll probably ask the size of your shop just to see how the retail market's performing as far as turnover per square metre. Quickly, we get a fantastic snapshot. Overlay that with the security of tenure that's left, or the critical path left on your lease, and we understand how important and what matrix we need to start digging further on.
And in this example, with what sort of initial information did you uncover in terms of other retailers in the area, things like OCR, total sales and things like that?
Well, quickly we need to establish exactly where we go a bit further and what type of premises they're in. And first of all, we established the size. And on this particular pharmacy, their net lettable area was 250 square metres and they sat in a small shopping centre anchored by a Woolworths in a prominent corner. But what was very important is we established whether that centre was a facility or not under the ACPA locality rules. This centre in particular had 16 other specialty shops, so there was a risk here of this pharmacist not being able to secure tenure in the future. But we dug deeper and we found out their occupancy cost ratio. Now, this one on total sales was running at 6%. That's including dispensary sales. But the real true measure we're looking for here was the occupancy cost on front of shop retail sales. And this one was running at 16%. We also found out that their sales per square metre was running at 5,300. Both those metrics were outside the industry benchmarks for pharmacies in those types of centres.
It's fair to say that all that information is about understanding and getting a good foundation of information for yourself to work with, from which you can then take action, provide advice and to help. But numbers and metrics don't always tell the full story. It's going to be more complex than that. What else did you find out in this situation?
Next, we go and find out a bit more about the background and what brought us to the situation where the member, the pharmacist here, is sitting waiting for the landlord to come to them 4 months out from a major event in their life, let alone their lease and their business. So we went and approached the property manager and needed to establish exactly where they were coming from. And what we found out is behind the scenes, they were being pressured by Woolworths, who were the major tenant there, to put a liquor store in. So they'd already approached this member in relation to downsizing 12 months ago. But the answer was pretty much with little or no information and wasn't explored, was no, they were happy where they are, what they were doing. But what's happening behind the scenes is the landlord has an option for Woolworths to renew their lease next year. And that was a critical key factor for us.
Some really important information there to uncover, particularly some of those earlier conversations, because it's giving us some information about where the conversation's going to be going. So you established a really good understanding of those metrics, those deeper things around their situation. And with all the important information, both metrics and some of the qualitative information, what's your next move to help the pharmacy? How do you start to turn things around from that, what would be considered a fairly poor situation?
Well, we dig a little bit further on some of the numbers, but we also then go look a bit outside the shopping centre. And what we discovered also is the pharmacy down the road had been pestering the property manager to come into the centre. And obviously that was a predatory activity that was really influencing them. They'd already made a predatory offer on rent and the size. So doubly, we had a bigger problem.
So it sounds like it's time to formulate a plan, line your ducks up. What was it? What did you do?
Well, pretty much we had to go and burn a bit of boot leather here, and that was to establish with the existing property manager and landlord that our guy was the guy who was going to take this forward. He was a known quantity, and he didn't quite understand the situation that was put to him by the property manager. And yes, they were very open to reconfiguring the property, looking at the real estate under lease, and finding some more efficiencies in their business. So the conversation changed, and we also had to dig a little bit harder as well, because with this particular property manager, you've got to understand how they're motivated. And this is where we get back to the tenant-only representation. This agent was looking at a commission for the Woolworths option, a commission for the BWS coming in, and a commission for the new pharmacy coming in, not just the renewal of the old one. There's three bangs for his buck. So we had to get past him and to the landlord to really find out the motivations of why we don't need to churn this guy and keep him where he is and save his business.
Now, it wouldn't be a very good case study if it didn't end well. So you uncovered all that stuff, you started those conversations, you put a plan forward to them. How was it received? What was the result that you achieved?
Well, we worked closely with them to deliver the outcomes for both the pharmacist, first and foremost, but also to the landlord. And the perception was that they were getting what they needed and we were getting what we needed. We ended up getting a new 10-year lease for him. We got his size down to 180 square metres. His occupancy cost on retail sales went down from 16% to 12.9%. Still a bit outside benchmarks, but a great improvement. That actually went down to 12.1 within a year. And his sales per square metre improved from 5,300 up to 7,700. But the big kicker is we reduced his gross rent by $41,000 a year. And when you work it out over a 10-year lease, that's nearly $500,000 we put on his bottom line.
That's impressive. That's a lot of money on the bottom line in what is a tough industry retail. Any other great short-term outcomes that you can share? Any other effects on the business?
Well, when we start from the ground down and work up and then reverse engineer the equation, what brings back is the retail equation, the core retailing understanding of how a retail business works. So overnight, his stock holding was reduced. All that dead stock turned into cash and he got that back into his business. His cash flow obviously improved because his stock turn increased. His rent went down and he was also, after 12 months, able to reduce his overdraft by 30%. And the bang here is after that period, he went back to his bank for a review on his KPIs and they were able to lift the security on his home. He'd been wanting to downsize for years because the kids had moved out. So all of a sudden, behind the scenes, he's become much more financially stable and in much better financial position the business is in.
And probably much more happier at work and at peace with himself. What about some of the longer term effects on the business? There's some great short term ones, but what about some of the ones that played out over the years to come?
Oh, that's right, Daniel. This is the thing, you know, getting your lease and the foundation right just keeps delivering benefits as you go down the path. He got the business revalued after about 14 months and his occupancy cost was now in the low 12%. His turnover per square metre was up over benchmarks on 8,000 a square metre. His stock turn ratio had increased by 40% and his average stock holding had reduced by $70,000.
Wow, that's a fantastic case study and a really positive outcome for everybody. Looking back at it, what do you think you'd say the main takeaways are for the listeners?
Oh, look, the main takeaways here is putting time on your side. And this is one area that we push with, you know, all retailers out there, is the sooner you get involved with the activity of a major lease event, the better the outcome and the delivery that you can get and the better results. So the sooner you start researching, the sooner you start understanding who you have to negotiate with, what are some of the outside influences, what are some of the internal influences, and then knowing your numbers and putting your hand up, seeking a bit of advice too.
If you had to summarise it, what about one main tip that the listeners could employ themselves to avoid getting themselves into the same situation where my lease is up in 4 or 5 months but I haven't heard from my landlord? What's the tip you'd give them?
Well, the tip here is, once again, is putting time on your side, make time your friend, not your enemy. And look, you really should start looking at our 18-14-12 rule. And, you know, through the guild, you'll be able to register your lease with just your email address and your lease expiry date, and you'll get electronic reminders with a checklist of tips and resources that you need to start the process at 18 months, 14 months, and 12 months prior to your lease expiry. And getting that under your belt and getting the process started is going to save you a lot of money. And when I talk about a lot of money, this case study I've just given you, after 12 months, this guy got his pharmacy valued, revalued. His cap rate went from 18% down to 16.3%. Now, I know only the members out there will understand that, but the value of his business went up hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, it took the security off him. His cash flow is better, much happier, all because we were able to get in there and turn time on its side and work for us.
And thinking long, long term, that sets him up for a better sale and a more secure retirement, right?
Oh, most definitely. And that's what it's all about, is making sure that your return on investment is constantly being reviewed and upgraded.
Philip, we'd be pretty lucky to be able to share a case study that covered all of the common issues that you usually help people with. So to tap into more of your wisdom for the listeners, let me ask some more common questions around some of those common issues we know pharmacies have. And the first one is, so I spoke to my landlord and they made an agreement with me. They can't renege on their word, can they?
Well, thanks for the question, Danny. Look, we get all sorts of various questions, but this one's in particular. Look, until a lease is actually signed and registered by both parties, the deal can change. Unfortunately, a handshake isn't what it used to be. These deals need to be followed through. We need to make sure the paperwork's in order. You know, a retail shop lease is a complex contract and it's a layer cake of data and information that needs and processes that need to be followed under the different legislation in each state. So understanding and being prepared for that paperwork is part of the research you should understand. But until the ink's dry, it's not a deal.
Next question is, if my lease has an option for further term, I don't need to worry about the expiry, do I? They'll just send me a letter.
Oh, look, there is a couple of states where you will get a reminder letter, but it's not always the case that they meet their obligations. Sometimes the landlords or their agents don't understand their obligations under a lease. You should be in front of this. Once again, putting time on your side. If you've got a lease option, that's your right over someone else's land, and you've got to treat it with respect, and it's valuable to the future of your business. So no, be proactive. Don't sit back and wait.
Can the landlord relocate my business anywhere in the shopping centre?
Daniel, I think this is probably from where someone's got a relocation clause in their lease, and you need to go back through your lease and obviously check that out. But no, they can't just pick you up and put you anywhere. It has to be on similar or same premises. So if you're on the corner of a shopping centre near the supermarket, they can't put you down the back facing the car park. So there are issues there that you can raise with your particular small business commissioners, or certainly with the retail shop leases, tenancy units in different states and territories, in relation to raising a dispute if someone tries to relocate you unfairly to premises that aren't similar.
Can I be compensated if the landlord does something that affects my sales?
Oh, most definitely. And this is where we need to do our paperwork and keep our research up to speed. For instance, if there's a redevelopment of the shopping centre, then if sales drop because they've closed the car park, relocated entrances, you know, they've put construction dongers in the way, then certainly keep good records, keep good photographs, and yes, under the respective state legislations, you are to be compensated for loss of business.
If the landlord has notified me that they are redeveloping and invoking the demolition clause, should I be compensated?
Now, this is a tough one, Daniel. Demolition clauses can be tricky. The compensation is very limited in these areas, and it's usually limited to the depreciated value of your fit-out. So when you see a demolition clause, you should certainly explore it further. Check the disclosure statement from the landlord, where they specifically have to advise you if they have actually made applications to council for development. And that'll give you an idea of what risk you're running. But certainly, if you see those clauses, you see a development may be pending, put your hand up and red flag it.
I think this next one's my favourite. If I've signed a lease, is that the end of the story?
Almost definitely. Put in the bottom drawer and wait for 5 years. No, by all means. Look, in a perfect world, we'd love all the members and all our clients to pull their lease out every year and read it again, and certainly make sure they understand that it's a living document. There are dates and performance clauses in there that go throughout the year. So keep looking at your lease, understand it, and if you don't just give it to your lawyer without instructions. Leave it sit there. Make sure they've got instructions to ring you and review it with you every year, or whoever that may be. But certainly, sticking at the bottom drawer and forgetting about it, thinking it's set and forget, you're going to end up like the case study, waiting 4 months out, wondering if you're going to have a livelihood or not.
As men, we can sometimes push our problems to the side and not worry about them, and they kind of just go away and resolve themselves. I don't think lease contracts are one of those. What about rents? Do they only go up at renewal?
Most leases, I'd have to say 99% of them out there, will have an annual rent increase, whether that be CPI or combination CPI plus one, or a fixed increase of 4 or 5%. It usually goes up annually. And then there's specific areas where a lease goes up at renewal, but that's only for an option. If you come to an actual renewal where there's no option, the landlord can pretty much ask whatever rent they like, and it's down to the negotiation. And once again, you need to put time on your side.
That starts to segue into the next question I have, which is, can the landlord set the rent at anything they like? Is there any check and balance there, or can they just make up whatever figure they want?
That's the market. We'll never take the word lord out of landlord. And if it's their land and they say they want to put the rent up by 200%, away they go. It's up to us to enter into commercial negotiations and arrangements to either agree to it, negotiate it, or not, walk away.
How does a market rent review work?
Sometimes very poorly, unfortunately. But look, the process there is, if the parties can't enter into a successful negotiation or complete a successful negotiation on a market rent, usually at option, then a specialist retail valuer will be appointed. Unless, of course, WA, where you actually have two or three valuers appointed. If you ever have a son, make him a valuer and send him to WA. But the valuer will ask for submissions from both parties, And it's up to you to prepare a submission on what the rental should be and why, so that, and they will rely on those submissions. Those submissions will be exchanged, so you can check out what the landlord's saying and they'll check out what you're saying, and then the specialist retail value will make their determination. The problem here is the rent can go up. The good part is it can go down, but the determination is final. The best way to get through a market rent review is start very early, get in front of your timelines, and negotiate an outcome first.
My premise lease for my retail business is about to expire in a few weeks. The landlord says he's found another tenant, and that's it. I have to be out by no later than the expiry date of the lease. Is this all the notice my landlord has to give me?
That would be the case, yes. Now, because your lease is very specific, a lease is like a marriage certificate. It just happens to have the divorce already packaged in. So that's your expiry date. However, where it becomes a little bit complex is when you go past that expiry date and go into what's called a holdover lease or a holdover period. Then each party has to give the other one full clear calendar month's notice. So they just can't say be out by the end of the month. It has to be a full clear month.
Rain's good for the gardens. It's good for the crops. Not so good for our stores. Who's responsible for damage, cost of my shop and the contents when water is leaking into the building but it's no fault of my own?
Well, usually everyone will say your insurance brokers or underwriters will say God, but that's not practical or commercial. Look, it's up to us to insure our premises, our fixtures and fittings, and, you know, from the ceiling down, that's our responsibility. From the ceiling up, that's the landlord's in most instances. So if the roof's leaking down through the ceiling and through the lights, the landlord is responsible for fixing the roof, yes. It's up to us to insure our own. But if the landlord doesn't fix that problem in a reasonable period of time, then we can subrogate that liability back onto the landlord for not performing. If the water's coming under the doors, though, and it's a flood event, then that becomes a particular issue where both parties really have to stand back and say, well, how did this happen? And usually each party will insure their own.
And it's probably fair to say that if you see a little bit of leaking water, you see those little brown spots in those white panels on the roof, but then it stops raining and no water comes through, you should probably still raise it with your landlord before it gets too big and potentially affects your shop and your income.
Definitely. Daniel, you do a lot of looking at the ceiling when you're shopping, hey? Is that rolling your eyes when you see the credit card come out?
Yes, sometimes I do.
No, look, that's sage advice. You know, look at the roof. If you see a bit of dampening, whatever, you do have a responsibility in most leases to report that to the landlord at the earliest possible convenience before it becomes a bigger problem. So, you know, don't be a serial pest, but certainly be in their faces in regards to those things around water.
And to be honest, they'd probably appreciate you bringing that issue to them before it becomes a bigger issue for all parties involved, right?
Most definitely. And it's all part of creating a great relationship with your landlord or managing agent as well. It should be a positive one, and, you know, you solve problems with a bit more honey than you do a stick.
Very good. My landlord told me to give them my profit and loss to prove that I can't pay the rent. Should I give it to them?
Well, what we're seeking here, and this is a big problem, and it happens all the time because majority of retailers get into trouble, they stick their head in the sand and then they get behind on their rent and they haven't addressed it up front. And then we're going to the landlord saying, hey, I need you to reduce my rent, I'm in trouble. They're not just going to come running out with a checkbook and say, oh, sorry, and pick you up and dust you off and let's write you some money out here and off you go. They'll need to go on evidence that what you're telling them is fact. And being an open book in relation to profit and loss, trading figures, etc., is just the foremost part of that. You don't have to give them a copy, but certainly sit down with them and be an open book. You're asking for help. Give them the tools they need to give you the help.
Would it be fair to say that it's probably worth putting time and effort into that relationship with your landlord over the years so that you've got a little bit of credit in the bank to have that conversation rather than always being a pain for them, only taking them problems and then asking for help when you're in trouble?
Oh, Daniel, most definitely. The other takeaway of any of our sessions is always about building that relationship. You don't have to love these people, but certainly be able to sit down and have a cup of coffee with them, have an open conversation with them. Talk about the positives as well as the negatives. Being a past centre manager, this is what I work where I work now for all my past sins. You don't want to be the fruit shop guy who pays his rent, you know, late every month. You know, the bins are dirty and he's troublesome. And when he comes to you for help, you pull the shutters down. But if you've got a positive relationship and you're a value to them, to the landlord, and you evidence that, they're more than 9 times out of 10, they're going to come and help you.
No offence, but lease and the contracts, it's not the most fun, it's not the most sexy thing about owning a pharmacy, but loads of great, sage, awesome advice there for people to really, for me, the key takeaway in all of that is to own the lease. Yes, it's a contract signed by multiple parties, but you really can't just stick it in the drawer and hope that you're just going to get another lease that doesn't impact your business in 3, 4, 5 years, 10 years time. So fantastic chat. Phil, if people want to get in contact with you, find out more about how you can help them, get some advice, what can they do?
Oh, for guild members, most definitely, is to contact their branch. You know, the great staff at each of the branches will either put you in touch with us. They have some information that we provide them to give some tips and help. But certainly you can also go to our website and just book in a phone call with me. It'll go straight in your diary and we're happy to give you some assistance.
Outstanding. Philip Chapman, founder and chairman of Lease One, thank you so much for spending some time on the show and discussing all things leasing.
Thanks, Daniel. Been a pleasure.
It's certainly an area where you simply can't leave it and hope it all works out for the best and that you'll get looked after. Phil gave some really great advice and practical tips on how to educate yourself, stay in control, and ultimately work towards the best outcome for you and your business. Of course, you can contact Phil at Lease One if you'd like to speak to him further about how he can help, but you should also check out his series of videos where he walks through some various elements of leasing, including the basics, the numbers, research and the critical path. And those videos are available on the Pharmacy Guild's YouTube channel. And of course, we'll put them in the show notes for you at guild.org.au. Plus, while you're there on the website, don't forget the Guild has some fantastic resources and tools such as the rental report and turnover guidelines, which can also help you. So be sure to check those out as well. As always, members, be sure to get in contact with your local Guild branch for further information and support, not just on leasing, but on any aspect of your business that you think you might need help with. Until next time, I'm Daniel Oyston, and you've been listening to Episode 1 of the Pharmacy Business and Career Network podcast, brought to you by the Pharmacy Guild of Australia.
The PBCN podcast, supporting your journey every step of the way. For more resources, to access support or advice, or to view this episode's show notes, visit guild.org.au.